This past week saw another shooting in a public place, putting thousands of people at risk and causing and resulting in deaths as well. This attack took place on the campus of UCLA, which shares something with the scene of many other gun attacks, injuries, and deaths. It is a gun-free zone. Now, anyone with a measurable brainwave will look at this situation and ask how this can be a good idea when you allow a criminal or a crazy person to have free reign with a gun before law enforcement and security of the guns can get there just to catch up to them. But there are those who would call you the problem for thinking that way. Here with his analysis of this tragedy and how gun-free zones empower the evil is Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Good to be with you, sir.
And the website for Gun Owners of America is gunowners.org. And I hate to make it sound like I'm trivializing everything, but Larry, but here we go again, and it seems like among those who are anti-gun, if you look at most of the stories in the mainstream media, it doesn't even acknowledge that UCLA was a gun-free zone. This seems to be ignoring the problem, is just empowering the tragedies to happen that we just saw this past week.
I think you're right, and I'd like to add something to that. Underneath that official ignorance of it being a gun-free zone or ignoring it, I think there was a recognition at work. As soon as we heard that there was a shooting at a school, the news reports I was getting, and my assumption as well, was, another mass murder. Because all of the mass murders in our country, save two, since 1950, have occurred in gun-free zones. And we know that schools, actually, it's not all schools. The state of Utah is one huge exception, as well as many in Ohio and other places, Texas. But the fact of the matter is, typically, and in California especially, a school is a gun-free zone. And so my assumption immediately was shooting, school, lots of dead people. Now, it turned out it was only a guy with a grudge who killed his significant other before driving halfway across the country to kill somebody else that he had a specific grudge against. So it wasn't a guy that was intent on killing as many people as possible because he was just mad at people in general. This guy had specific grudges that he was aiming to settle, and he did. But I think the important thing that I take away from this is I thought, until I heard differently, when I heard the actual number of people killed, that this was a mass shooting because it was a gun-free zone.
Well, when you look at that fact of UCLA being a gun-free zone, and you can go through the timeline, which I think the last time you were on, we actually did, Elliot Roger, who shot three people in Santa Barbara, James Holmes, Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooter, Fort Hood, Washington, D.C. Naval Yard, the Chattanooga recruiting station, the Navy recruiting station in Chattanooga. Those shooters, as did, we can assume at this point, the shooter at UCLA, did what they did because they knew there would be no retaliation to their offensive moves because those are all gun-free zones.
Another guy with a gun could conceivably have thwarted this dirtbag's purposes. And that has happened on occasion. We have accounts where armed people are able to stop a mass murder. One of the more dramatic ones occurred in Chicago not long after concealed carry became legal. And one of the first people to be able to get one of those permits, it's still not very easy in Chicago, was the driver of an Uber car. And he saw a guy starting to fire into a crowd of people, clearly a mass murder in the making. He got out of his car and with his own gun that he had a concealed carry permit for, that he had just gotten, one of the very first in Chicago, he was able to nail the dirtbag and stop the killing. Had that been a month before, where this guy would not have legally been able to have a gun, we could have easily have had one more mass murder there in Chicago, but it was stopped because an average citizen was able to be armed and use it in a case of necessity.
Larry Pratt, who's Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. GunOwners.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. People might, because when these tragedies happen, you have the obligatory expressions of sorrow and concern by various elected leaders. But notable absence from these times is Vice President Joe Biden. It'd be rather hypocritical for him to bemoan gun-free zones, wouldn't it, Larry?
Well, I have thought for some time that those who do, and we have heard Biden speak about gun control being the proper solution for crime in the United States. And, of course, the president is often intoning about too many guns in the country. Okay, gentlemen, hear you. Why don't you lead by example? You tell the Secret Service that's protecting you to leave their guns at home because you want to lead by example and show the American people that really the guns don't help. The presence of a gun only can make things worse. And so we want to show the American people that we really believe that.
And maybe for the Obamas, have their children attend a public school in a gun-free zone.
Without the Secret Service detail that protects them at the private school they attend.
And just for you listening, a little note of history. It was then-Senator Joe Biden back in 1990 who instituted and had got through the Senate and signed into law, unfortunately, the idea and the concept of the gun-free zone, which brings about to have this comment from the head of the New Jersey Education Association, Wendell Steinhauer. This is back from 2013, just after the Newtown shooting. And he was talking about legislation that was going through the New Jersey Assembly that created weapon-free zones around schools, daycare centers, other public places. And Mr. Steinhauer said at the time, that sends a strong message that children must be shielded from the threat of gun violence and gives law enforcement the ability to better protect them. That's just common sense. Gun-free zones, common sense, protecting children. To me, maybe I'm using too much logic, Larry. That doesn't make common sense.
I don't understand where he gets his conclusion, because he has just said that by being defenseless, they're going to be safer.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense.
And that's not paraphrasing. That was a direct quote from an NJEA press release from February 25th, 2013.
And you could have said the same thing quoting one after another of not just educators, although many of them, but many other people as well. You can go to Hollywood and get a quote like that anytime you want.
You had mentioned a statistic of two times the majority of shootings and mass shootings, we should specify, have been in gun-free zones. Now, the anti-gun people counter that. There was another convoluted survey that said the exact opposite. Only 2% were in gun-free zones, 98% were in other places. But a little nasty truth about that study, in case you listening happen to come across that. That study counted an individual death as a mass shooting. So that pretty much boosted up the numbers to include home shootings, one-on-ones, such as the case. It was the Crime Prevention Research Center took a look at true mass public shootings. Their bottom line, their benchmark was a minimum of, this sounds harsh, I know, but a minimum of four people killed, equal to a mass shooting in this study. And
that's
showed
the government measure, by the way. That's not just that private group.
Right, and it showed from January 2009 through middle of 2014, there were 25 mass public shootings, at least four people killed with a gun. Of those shootings, 92% happened in a so-called gun-free zone.
And the other way that they tried to fiddle with these statistics was to say that even a misfire, somebody shooting at somebody and not hitting anybody, all of those were labeled as shootings. And that's how they jacked up their statistic. But they obviously had, as you've already pointed out, to change the definition of mass shooting to just shooting. They dropped the word mass, and they just changed it. Well, of all the shootings, hardly any of them occurred the way John Lott is saying. Well, sure, because they changed the definition radically, and obviously you get a different outcome.
So other than what New Jersey is doing right now, there are individual schools who are hiring retired police officers, arming them, and providing security on a school-by-school basis, which unfortunately, that's a step in the right direction, but it's not going to be a fast enough cure in states like California and Illinois, which just flat out ban any idea like that. You know, have we lost the days where when you take your child to a school to see if they're going to learn, you now have to check out the school to make sure that your child is going to live?
Frankly, that's not out of the question. I would say that's a reasonable proposition, and people need to consider that. And if the school where they don't have any choice but to send their child to that school, they ought to be doing what they can to get the teachers themselves to pressure to get an exception in the gun-free zone law so that they can be trained and certified and be able to protect the students and themselves. If a dirtbag comes in thinking that, oh, good, I'm going to kill a lot of people here, hopefully that'll be the last mistake he ever makes.
And that is an idea that is being proposed by GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump, and it'll be interesting to see how the Democratic side, whoever that may be, will counter that argument. Learn more about this issue and to become a part of Gun Owners of America, please visit their website, gunowners.org. And we've been joined by their executive director, Larry Pratt. Larry, thanks for being here this morning.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much.